One of the biggest questions that most people are thinking about, and you might be one that's questioning it for yourself, is should we wait or should we buy now? And in this video, what I want to do is discuss a few key factors that you should consider before you make that decision, because buying a property is not as simple as people make it out to be. And when you are purchasing, it's probably going to be one of the biggest purchases you make in your entire life. So if you're interested, keep watching. Hey guys, my name's Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Now, if you are interested in buying property without the hassle of trying to second guess yourself and buy with confidence and with speed, then you should definitely contact my buyer's agency. It's called Search Property. I'll leave a link in the description below, as well as my email in the pinned comment. So contact me if you want some help in 2023. Now, this question often comes up, and it's probably a couple of times a week that I get an email about it, which is, hey Ravi, should I buy now or should I just wait for another 6 months? And then I often respond saying, what's going to happen in 6 months? And they come back and they usually say, well, I think the market's going to bottom. Now, the problem with trying to pick bottoms is that when you try and pick bottoms, you get stinky fingers. And nobody wants stinky fingers, right? All jokes aside, the problem is that nobody really knows what the bottom of this market looks like. What's more important to consider is your own personal situation, looking at your own strategy and understanding what you're trying to do today, but also in the next 12 months as short-term goals, but long-term in the 5, 10, 15 year window. Now, here are a couple of factors I would be considering if I was purchasing today. And yes, I am purchasing today, which has been fantastic because there's some great deals out there, but I'm not sure how great the deals will be in 12 months time or in 6 months time, which is when most of the media journalists are suggesting the market might bottom. So here are some factors that you should consider. Number one is borrowing costs are a lot higher today than they were 12 months ago. So if we go back to December 2021 or November 2021, where basically you could get an interest rate of like 2% on most home loans, and if you're going for an investment, it was going to be under 3%, which is crazy. At that time, you pretty much were like, this is never going to end. It's fantastic. I'm not sure what could go wrong. Let me just buy as much as I can. And that's pretty much what happened. We saw FOMO pricing, we saw FOMO behavior, where I would honestly have to compete with people as part of the buyer's agency. We would go out, we'll try and buy a property for a client, and then we get smashed because someone else is not only offering more money, but they're also going in and saying,
we don't care about finance, we'll buy it cash only.
And to top it all off, they're going in with no pest and no finance clause. Like, going in and having no inspections done to a property, I mean, I don't know how you sleep at night, but just having paid 500 bucks or 1,000 bucks, it gives you a bit more peace of mind, which is why I strongly recommend if you are buying property, you should definitely get a pest and build report done. But in that case, we're buying against people that were doing that, and I would never buy without doing one of those. So you'd have to let deals go. But 12 months later, we've got interest rates at close to 5.5% to 6%. And in most cases, people are now in negative equity territory, especially if you bought in Sydney, where prices have come down by about 11%. So if 12 months ago you purchased thinking that borrowing costs wouldn't increase, 12 months later, you're now facing an issue where cash flow is very tight. What do you think is going to happen in 12 months? Well, unfortunately for some, and fortunate for you, is that most people live in the now, which is they think whatever they're going through now is going to continue for the foreseeable future. And one of those things is interest rates. People often think that because interest rates have increased so much, they're going to continue increasing and it's going to not stop because at some point someone suggested this might happen. Now, instead, we take a historical approach and we look back at this graph, which basically illustrates how long those interest rates stay at the peak. And this is why I've gone on to say that 2023 is not a year about increasing interest rates. It's about when will they start cutting. And that's the question you need to factor in when you're going out and saying, well, should I buy now or should I wait for another 6 or 12 months. In this graph, you can see that when we get to the peak, we often stay there for less than 12 months. In some occasions, it was like 6 months. So if we've now stopped increasing our rates as of, say, December of 2022, it could mean that by October or November of 2023, we start seeing our first rate cuts. Now, why is this important? Well, apart from the obvious fact that cash flow is going to be improved because your interest rates will probably drop, it invites more buyers into the market. Because your borrowing costs are dictated by what the interest rates are from the banks, if the interest rates increase, your borrowing capacity decreases. And that's what we've seen, is that if you thought you could borrow 3 months ago, now you're in a position where you can no longer borrow, which means you're out of the property market until those rates return back to those similar levels. So in that case, it could be about 12 months before you could even get into the market to buy again. Now, this is on the positive side, factoring in that December's increase was going to be the last increase, which is what I personally think. However, I could be wrong, and it could go up in Feb. And if it goes up in Feb and you're just scraping through now, in Feb, when those interest rates come in and 2 weeks later, they actually come into effect at the bank, banks, you might not be able to borrow again. And you might not be able to borrow not just for that month, but for the next 12 or 18 months, depending on when interest rates start coming down and what the banks are willing to pass on. So that's an important factor to consider when you're going out there and purchasing property over the next 12 months. Number two is the dwelling shortage. I don't think people talk about how bad this problem actually is. I've come out on the channel and spoken about rental crisis and how bad that looks like. But when we actually go and consider how bad this dwelling shortage actually is, it not only will affect rental prices, but it's definitely going to contribute towards capital appreciation. And the reason for that is because we don't simply have enough properties available as of right now. Not only that, but the approvals have now started decreasing significantly. You see, when people's borrowing costs go down, there's less people that are actually going out and getting approvals to go build more property. You couple that with the fact that many construction companies have gone under, but the existing construction companies are also facing issues with limitation of supplies and also labor shortages. You aren't getting those properties built enough in time. So what we're facing is a severe shortage of dwellings. And that might not be felt where you're living right now, but I promise you, there are some locations where you can't even buy a property in that suburb, let alone renting something there. So when considering this point, you've got to figure out that, hey, yes, maybe the bottom of this market nationally is going to be in 6 months' time, but what's the guarantee that there's going to be good quality real estate available for you to purchase in 6 months' time? And there's no guarantee. I've been doing this for long enough, about 9 years, and then being a student of this market for much longer than that. And what I've realized is that if you're able to go out there, you can get a mortgage today, you can purchase, and you've got all of your strategy in place, there's probably a good time to purchase because you just never know when this market will turn. Just like we saw 12 months ago, you thought, hey, this gravy train could never end. And now we're in a situation where everyone's like,
inflation is crazy, I'm gonna lose my shit.
And all my cash flow has gone to waste. We could also find ourselves equally in 12 months' time where we see booming prices again. I know it's probably not something that people wanna hear because you might be out of the market or you might just be like,
this guy's on a hype train, like, come on, get off it.
But the reality is the data doesn't lie and the data definitely doesn't care about yours or my feelings. Number three is consider having an emergency fund. The reality of a recession in 2023 is more than likely across many parts of the world. Now, I think Australia is going to avoid having a technical recession, but times aren't going to be great. You're not going to have a bunch of people go out there, splurge on a bunch of shit that they actually don't need to impress people they don't like. But the fact is that we're still going to feel some sort of that pain. But the reality of the US and the UK markets going into a technical recession is definitely on the card. We've already started seeing layoffs across many industries around the world. And so I think this is going to continue. So if we're thinking about those things, we may want to hold back some cash. Now, when I say some cash, and I'll use my example, for instance, I want to hold back an emergency fund that's probably 10 to 15% greater than what I've normally held. Now, am I going to use that money for anything else apart from holding it as an emergency fund? Probably not. But that also doesn't mean that I'm going to go, well, if I've got an emergency fund of say $20,000, I want to go and bolster that up to $100,000. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. What I'll do is I'll go, instead of $20,000, I'm probably going to keep $30,000. I'll use the rest of the $70,000 and go buy more property. That's pretty much how my brain works. I'm not sure about you. And finally, a factor that you should definitely consider, especially if you're investing in property, is the cash flow. So if you've been following the channel for a while, I talk about cash flow all the time. I'm like, hey, I want capital growth and I want cash flow. If I can't get both, it's not a good investment, in my opinion. So yes, most people go out there and say, hey, 4% yield is great or 3.5% yield is great. I want 5.5%. I want 6%. And then when it comes to capital growth, I want to be outperforming those capital city markets. So the idea is I go out there, I purchase property in all these other areas, get higher cash flow, which increases my servicing, buy more properties, build up the portfolio and the machine. And then in 5 years' time, I can go and sell half the portfolio or take enough of that equity out to go and buy my dream place in Sydney. And that's the idea in a nutshell. So when I know these things, I want to go into areas where there is rental demand as well, because if you don't have that rental demand, what's the point of investing? Like, you're just going to rely on the capital growth, but you've still got a bunch of costs that you want to offset. By having good, strong cash flow, it also protects you from downturns. Now, an example of this would be this year alone in 2022, we've seen interest rates go up quite significantly. But if your cash flow was in a really good position to start off with, you're pretty much not affected by the interest rates increasing because your rents are going up as well, pretty much offsets how much your interest payments went up. But more importantly, it helps you plan out your cash flow and your strategy moving forward. You're not in a defensive mindset, you're in an offensive mindset because your machine takes care of itself. Then you can allocate more of your funds from your salaries to go and increase your positions while most people are getting defensive. If you were asking me as a mate, and I think at this point we've considered ourselves mates, so let's just go with that. But if you considered me as a mate and you asked me, hey Ravi, should I buy now or should I wait? I would go on to say that you should probably buy because that's exactly what I'm doing. And the reason I'm doing that is because there is no guarantee of what life looks like in 12 months' time. But based on all the data I look at, and I do this full time, I think the bigger question is around what sort of cash flow I'm going to be looking at in 12 months' time when rates start cutting and rents increase by at least 10 to 15%. That's going to put me in a stronger position. And more importantly, that's going to then drive more investor activity because more demand demand incoming relative to the shortage of dwellings means that property prices are going to be higher at the end of 2023 than they are at the start of 2023. And for me, if I'm early by 10 minutes, I don't mind, but I don't want to be 1 minute too late. If you guys have enjoyed this video, smash that like button, subscribe if you haven't already, and share this video to someone that's also thinking the same thing. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.